Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday morning. It's December 22nd, 2023. Great to have you with us. Thank you so much to listening to EWTN's Global Catholic Radio. We have a great show lined up for you this morning as we move into, thanks be to God, this most important time of year, the Christmas season, when the Savior humbled himself. The King of the universe, the King of kings, Lord of lords, the great omnipotent, the great, oh my gosh, what, how can you else describe God? Everything, right? Our everything. Comes down to earth as a child. Talk about humility. And that's what we need to remember. We need to remember that God is among us, Emmanuel, God with us. And we'll talk about that in the first segment before we get to Doug Keck at 15 minutes past the hour, who'll let us know all the great programming we can watch. Fact Check Friday at 28 minutes past the hour, and then wrapping up with a beautiful new pro-life book by Stephanie Gray Connors, which is entitled A Very Important Message for Our Time, My Body for You, A Pro-Life Message for a Post-Roe World. I want to spend a few minutes after we give you the weather and whatnot to talk about the importance of our focus as we move into Christmas this weekend. There has been so much news and so much confusion and so much negativity out there that it's very easy to get sucked in. And you know who would love that? Would love to take our eyes off the prize, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, right? Our everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So I thought I would share with you, I mentioned it with my local listeners, a beautiful message that Father John Ricardo from Acts 29, EWTN and Ave Maria Radio gave earlier this week. Now, through his website, Acts 29, you can go to the website, acts29.org. It's the Roman numeral. And he has a segment that he does that he records called From the Trailer. And so each week what he does is he previews the second reading for the Mass. So for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, 25 through 27. Now, I would do yourself a favor, and we'll talk about this in Fact Check Friday, to really stick with really good, solid, uplifting media sources always, but especially this time of year, to go to the website and listen to the entire segment. We don't have time to play the entire segment because we have to get to our guests this morning, but I just wanted to, instead of giving you the news, this is the good news, this is the most important news that we can talk about, right? The birth of Jesus. I thought I would share this clip from Father John, because I think he just puts everything in perspective for us. So we'll do that in just a minute. I'll also share the reading with you. And then before we get into that, I also want to share some God sentences that I had at Adoration last night, and actually yesterday too, when I was taping, pre-recording an interview for next week, because we have some time off next week, obviously, for the holidays, but we always want to leave you with some fresh interviews, and so I'll explain in a second. But first, if you are heading out the door to travel, safe travels, be careful, give yourself plenty of time. But the National Weather Service is telling us a storm impacting Southern California, moving inland across the Four Corners region today. Heavy rainfall and potential for flash flooding are in the forecast, along with accumulating snow for the highest terrain locations. As the storm tracks east this weekend, they're expecting rain and thunderstorms for the Eastern Plains and Mississippi Valley. Snow for the Western High Plains and gusty winds are expected. So there's your weather forecast. They're saying they're going to break travel records both on the road and in the skies over the next few days, so be careful. Give yourself plenty of time and have a beautiful, beautiful Christmas. Okay, so before we take our first break this morning, we are going to hear from the one, the only, Father John Ricardo, who runs a beautiful ministry. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Detroit, but he runs a beautiful ministry called Acts 29. And it's 29 because what he's saying is that the book of Acts is continuing among us, right? Because Acts only has, you know, 28 chapters, but beautiful ministry doing so much good around the country and the world, especially for encouraging priests. So just a few God sentences. This has been, I think, a rough week for all of us, let's be honest, but we need to refocus, right, on our Lord. And so yesterday, as I mentioned, I was preparing an interview, getting ready to do an interview, and we did a great interview, a follow-up interview with Dr. Jay Richards. Now, he is a contributor to this beautiful brand-new book about God's grandeur, and it's all about Catholic intelligent design. So you've got Dr. Richards, you've got Jay Pudashevsky, you've got Anthony Esselin, you've got all these great philosophers, writers, scientists contributing to this book. It's terrific. And we had Jay on earlier this month, and I really wanted to bring him back, especially during the Christmas season, because I think when you really sit down and ponder and reflect and hear from these incredible experts about science and God's grand design, it helps us keep focused about the things that matter most, as Al Cresta always says. So we were talking about how Scripture also discusses a beautiful design of God, right? So this is yesterday. Do the interview. It's going to air in the next 10 days or so. And then I get to adoration last night, and I have my devotionals. I like to bring a lot of devotionals to reflect and read and ponder when I'm in adoration. And so I go to do my evening prayer in the Magnificat. And again, this is a few hours after this interview, and it really encouraged me, especially with everything that's going on, to remind me of God's grandeur, as the book says. I open my Magnificat, and what does it say? The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message. And on and on and on. I felt the Lord telling me, do not forget, T, who I am and what I have done and what I continue to do. I am God. Okay, I got it. And then I also brought with me to adoration. I'm so funny. I walk in, I've got all these books, and it's people just laugh at me. Anyway, I brought Joseph Pierce's book. I love this book, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful. It's a recent book by Ignatius Press. He was on with us earlier this week, too. History in Three Dimensions. And what I love about it is, again, it's the perspective. So Joseph looks at the church over the two millennia, since the church has been with us, right? Jesus Christ founding the church on St. Peter, the rock. All right, Matthew 16:18, you are Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church. So he's looking at all the problems, the ups and downs, the ins and outs in the church over the centuries. And here again, I've been reading this book, obviously, in preparation for the interviews, but also just because it's terrific. Again, the title is The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful. And so I open up this book, and what do I see immediately? If there is one lesson that emerges from the church's experience of persecution, it is that true faith, like true love, is never stronger than when it is tested. If the blood of the martyrs is indeed the seed of the church, it can also be said the sword of orthodoxy is forged in the fiery furnace of hell's attack upon it. Thank you very much. Okay. Do I need any more reminders that God is God and we are not? Well, I'm Calabrese. We're known for having thick heads, so sometimes it takes a little bit more with me. And then you have the amazing Father John Ricardo. He was always spot on in terms of understanding what people are facing in the midst of craziness. So he does this amazing teaching early this week. As I mentioned, he does this every week and reflects on the second reading of the Mass. So just let me share the second reading for the fourth Sunday of Advent, and then we'll play a clip from his 10-minute segment. Romans 16:25-27. Brothers and sisters, to him who can strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret for long ages, but now manifested through the prophetic writings and according to the command of the eternal God, made known to all nations, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Christ Jesus, be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Father John was looking at the events of this past week and all the news in the world and in the church and saying and telling us the devil really wants us to be distracted this week, and that this time drives you-know-who crazy because of what happened. Father John reminds us to be focused again on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that we are loved, and there is a plan, and he's in charge. Take a listen.
In the enemy's lair, these days we're about to enter into have to be horrific. They have to be days of lamentation and woe, days of fierce animosity and anger. After all, these days celebrate their defeat. The king has come in disguise to undo their dominion over the human race, to break their yoke, to set the captives free. So it's reasonable to presume their strategy this time of year is to get us talking about anything and everything except the events that brought about the end of their tyrannical chokehold. In the past few hours, reading and hearing all I'm reading about the declaration from the Vatican, I keep sensing the Spirit say to me, don't fall for their game. Oh, to be sure, there will be time for more conversation in the weeks and months ahead. Not now. Now is a time for stillness, quiet, awe, wonder, pondering, trust, faith in the God who acts, who breaks into history. What might Paul's words to us this Sunday, or God's word through Paul, have to say to us in these days filled with so much consternation and confusion? Well, let me share, if I may, what it's saying to me right now. Quite simply this. Do not take your eyes off the mystery that we are about to celebrate. Something, Paul says, has been revealed, uncovered, unveiled, disclosed, made known. What exactly? This. You are cherished, priceless, worth the trouble, worth dying for. You matter to the God who created all that is visible and invisible, the God who at this very moment is adored and glorified and worshiped by myriads of angels, sees you. He knows you. Your name is carved into his hands, quite literally. God loves this world. And love acts. It cares. It intervenes. It breaks in. God acts. He saves. He cares. He breaks in. He rescues. Jesus is Lord. He is the author of the story. All things are in his hands. He is not nervous or anxious or fearful. This is what we're about to celebrate. With all that is happening all around us, the Middle East, Ukraine, the church, our families, our own hearts, let us keep our eyes fixed on God. Let us pour out our prayers, our hopeful laments to the God who is love. Let us trust in him, even when nothing seems to make sense, even when things don't add up. Mary and Joseph, pray for us. Holy Spirit, help us to know the Father. Jesus, be Jesus for us. Save us from all that wants to harm us. Oh, Jesus, we surrender ourselves to you. Take care of everything.
Amen. Father John Ricardo, his thoughts from the trailer this week, you can find it at acts29.org. It's a Roman numeral. I highly recommend signing up for it because it's so timely, so poignant. He is a great, great speaker and preacher and teacher, and so faithful to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So again, acts29.org. But remember what he said, now is a time for awe, wonder, pondering. Not for confusion, not for worry, but awe, wonder, pondering, and I would also say joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And as our associate pastor last week said in his homily for Gaudete Sunday, Father Adam said, joy, one of the greatest witnesses to the love of God. Be joyful. As an old song says, and as Father John mentioned, God really does have the whole world in his hands. It's 13 minutes past the hour on the Friday before Christmas. Amen. We'll be right back.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Finding good health care, encouragement for healthier living, or solid spiritual direction can be frustrating. That's why the Catholic Healthcare Alternative, CMF Curo, is offering a health-sharing option. Curo's Christ-centered wellness services include Catholic wellness coaching, spiritual direction, and a Catholic community supporting your health and wellness needs. Visit cmfcuro.com to learn more. That's cmfcuro.com, where you can experience Christ's healing love in your health and wellness.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Do you remember writing your Christmas wish list as a child? In developing countries like Haiti and Guatemala, children don't make Christmas lists, and they don't expect Christmas gifts. All their parents earn must go to food, shelter, and water. Can you picture the joy of surprising a child with their first Christmas gift? Send them a box of joy at boxofjoy.org. A rosary and the story of Jesus is included in every box of joy. Give today at boxofjoy.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it's emptied. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Sixteen minutes past the hour, Friday before Christmas. My goodness, going into the fourth week of Advent. Doug Keck with us, President and Chief Operating Officer. I'm telling you, I know I said this a million times, my friend, but I'm so glad for EWTN. It really is a haven of peace in a crazy world. Good morning.
Absolutely. absolutely. That's the idea, that oasis, the place where you can touch to the truth. Stay in touch with the truth and realize you're not crazy for believing what you believe, and to cut out all that noise that's out there in and around the secular world and even in and around the church at times, and stay true to what you know is the teachings of the church. And that's why we have the kind of Christmas programming coming up today. We've got Amal and the Night Visitors.
Oh, love that.
That production out of the Motor City Lyric Opera. Brings you its highlights, and that's today at 10:30 a.m. as we kind of get into this weekend, of course. And we've got Carols by Candlelight from the Knox Shrine.
That was on last week, too, wasn't it?
A little bit? It's going to be on 10:30 p.m. tonight.
Okay, oh, it's
so
beautiful.
Check that out. Yep, absolutely. The Catholic University, we always do their concert. It's going to be on Saturday at 9 p.m., so you can check that out. That'll be tomorrow. Then we get special Christmas Eve programming. Obviously, we've got the Solemn Mass of Christmas Eve from Rome coming. It'll be at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Christmas Eve, of course, because of the time differences. We've got our EWTN Family Christmas Special on at 6 p.m. Some wonderful hymns with a special introduction by Father Joseph Mary Wolf, our wonderful choir. Mm-hmm. Reclaiming the Carol, that's a program we did on Charles Dickens. You can check that out also at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, Choral Meditations from the Basilica in Washington. We do those at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Christmas Eve, and we roll right into Christmas Day with the Urbi et Orbi, Solemn Mass of Christmas with our own wonderful friars, which is at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on Christmas Day. And we're also airing the noon mass, basically, from Washington, D.C., on Christmas Day as well. And then we move into the following week as Christmas season actually gets underway. Jim and Joy reflecting on the year and a lot of programs. EW10 News Nightly as well will be reflecting on the past year and kind of looking forward to some of the news stories we expect to see happening in and around the church in 2024, believe it or not. So check all that out along with EW10 Live Part 2 of Father Mitch's wonderful Christmas special that was produced at actually the Dr. Elaine Murray unit of the State Women's Prison in Gatesville, Texas. Aww. So visiting those who need to be visited, especially at this time. Reaching out to the peripheries in a way that actually is what our Lord had in mind. And so EW10.com, check out all our programming, and don't forget about our on-demand platform and our YouTube channel.
Yeah, great stuff. And you can just really find everything online. Just go to the website first, EWTN.com.
Right.
And one of the things I love really is that you can turn EWTN on at any time, and there's something that, and I mean this sincerely, that is really soothing to the soul.
Right. I always tell the story about my son. You know, my son's an adult autistic child, but when he was much younger, when we lived in New York, before he'd go to bed, he'd go to the TV and he'd turn on a channel and then turn the TV off. And one day I said, Matt, what are you doing? And he said, well, I just put it on to to this channel, Channel 25, which is EWTN, and that way I know when the TV comes on, there won't be anything on it that will scare me.
Aww.
He said that when he was probably about 7 or 8. Mm. But that you could, you know, expand that out to that whole idea that, that's where you can find rest. That's where you can get those devotionals. That's where you can get that reinforced the teaching. And again, like we say, get the straight take on the news. Get rid of all of this noise out there. And many times, even with the noise and the news, you got to turn it off for a while and just say, you know, if it's distracting your peace, then you should just get rid of it and focus on what's really important, which is the truth, which is Jesus Christ and his church. And, you know, with Mother Angelica's wonderful teachings and the teachings like you just had on with Father John Ricardo and wonderful teachers and preachers, Father, you know, Spitzer, my good friend and your good friend, wonderful insights into the truth that we can hold on to. And the classics we have, Father Dubé and Father Gruchel and
all of these
great, you know, teachers over the years who have gone on before us. And are still praying for us even now, and the rosary and the mass, all of that's there for people, especially reaching out to those, especially in a time of year where for so many of us Christmas is the best time of the year. It's wonderful family, but for other people who've had losses or don't have those connections, sometimes unfortunately it reinforces how alone they are, and now's the time to realize that you're not alone, because Christ is always with you.
Well, when you have, and this is true, I mean, if you look at, you know, psychological studies, or if you talk to an expert like a Dr. Ray Grundy, those kinds of things, having that on in the background, having the spiritual, and not just spiritual, but solid teaching with the rosary and the name of Jesus, and with that on the background and those names and those words being proclaimed throughout your house, that's real powerful. I don't know if people, Mother Angelica talked about this all the time, the power of having religious items around your home. That is extremely powerful.
Holy reminders. That was the whole basis of Religious Catalog in 1996, was Mother really felt like there was a dearth of holy reminders. I mean, it's kind of why, you know, they went to the full habit. They wanted that holy reminder in the world. That's why it's important for priests to be in clerics. We need to see sisters and brothers and priests, and we need to have holy reminders, things in our daily lives when we're caught up in the pell-mell race of this crazy world we live in the internet 24/7 kind of world. You've got to step back. You need those things to stop you once in a while and say, well, wait a second, this isn't all it is.
Right.
This isn't my life. This isn't the things that are important to me. These are just affectations that I'm taking on and accretions that I have to step back from and remember what's really important. That's why you need that Sacred Heart on the wall, Divine Mercy on the wall. That's why having your house blessed or dedicating it to the Sacred Heart is so important, and having holy water or something like that to remind yourself, especially when you feel overwhelmed, to say, okay, Jesus says, Father Spitzer has so many, you know, short ejaculations of ways, and some is like he would say, you know, ultimately, God, I can't take, you have to take care of this.
I'm
just giving it to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing for people to do, and say, listen, I can't deal with this. I never could.
Like Father John said, right? In that prayer, Jesus, take it. You're in charge.
You're in charge. I can't deal with this. You figure it out. And you know what? We always find out one way or the other. He figures it out.
Yeah, he does. And as I was saying, when you are, and Mother always said this too, when you are in that presence, when you're reading scripture, when you're receiving the sacraments, when you have those holy reminders, that's another way of speaking to God. That's a form of prayer. And so I truly believe that I was taping that interview yesterday with Jay Richards for that beautiful book, God's Grandeur. And then I go to adoration last night, and I open my Magnificat, and the first thing I see is the heavens declare the glory of God. Don't tell me that was a coincidence. Come on. That was God saying, I got this.
God incidences, some people would say. Absolutely, and that's the thing. If you're open to looking for God's, you know, intervention in your life, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's that so many of us have been closed off to it. We didn't believe it. We lost focus. We got focused on other things. And that's why there's so much noise, because the noise is designed to distract you. The evil one doesn't want us paying attention to the Lord's messages to us, which are constantly coming.
Yep.
But we have to take the first step like the prodigal son and open ourselves to that message so that we can start to connect. And that's what EWTN does. That's what Catholic Radio does. You're in your car. You go by. You can listen on your own. You know what I mean? Nobody has to know that you're kind of listening to Dr. Ray or Teresa Tomeo or Father Gershel. And slowly you start to say to yourself, yeah, this rings true to me. I remember this one growing up. That's what my mom used to talk, my grandmother used to talk about. And that, you know, they're right, because I see so many people's lives that are so destroyed today. And I wonder why. And the answer is because so many people have given up on the truth and have bought into the lie.
Right. Or they've moved into despair because they focus too much on the negative. There's a real balance that we're supposed to have.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about EWTN. You provide that. Doug, Merry, Merry Christmas and Happy
New
Year.
You too, my friend.
And we'll talk to you, God willing, I think next week. Or are you off on Friday? We're off on Friday. We're both off on Friday. Never mind. Talk to you the next week.
I would have been available, but that's okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We'll talk to you later. Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN. Fact Check Friday up next. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted, but I want you to know I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Was Jesus' risen body the same body he dwelled in while living on earth? According to the Catholic Catechism, it was the same body that was crucified, but it was glorified and different in profound ways from the risen body of Lazarus, which Jesus brought forth from the tomb. Lazarus returned to his same earthly life with the same limitations he had when he left it. Jesus rose with new powers. His body was no longer confined to time and space. He could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could also eat and drink, as he did with the apostles, to prove to them that he was not a ghost. He could appear in whatever guise he chose, as he did with Mary Magdalene when she thought he was the gardener. The reality of the resurrection of the body seemed an impossibility to the disciples. They needed the added impetus of God's grace to accept and believe such a reality. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Friday morning. And not just any Friday, it is a Friday in the third week of Advent. It's December 22nd, 2023, going into a very short fourth week of Advent, and then the holy day of Christmas. And then, of course, moving into the new year, 2024. And I do hope that you take what our friend Doug Keck, our President and Chief Operating Officer, said this morning, and as he explains every Friday, take it to heart that we provide you with peaceful resources. And remember what Father John Mercado said at the top of the hour: now is the time, and this brings us into the subject of Fact Check Friday and the culture and the media, now is a time for awe, wonder, pondering. Not for stress, even though this can be a very stressful time of year. Not for worrying about what's going to happen with the church. I mean, I think God gave me some really great reminders and hit me upside with a 2x4. And look, I know what you're feeling. A lot of you are emailing me this week, and it's shocking. It's confusing. There's all kinds of things happening in the world and in the church. But we have to remember the words of Christ, not only in Matthew 16:18. But also in the Great Commission, that he is with us always. And I felt very comforted because I needed a big reminder, and not just once but twice, as I told you at the top of the hour, with the Godcidences. There was not a coincidence that I was doing this interview on this beautiful book, God's Grandeur, and we were talking about the heavens declare the glory of God. We were actually quoting that scripture in the interview with Dr. Jay Richards. And then I get to adoration last night and open up my Magnificat, and bada boom, bada bing, there it is again. So what I thought I would do for this segment of Fact Check Friday is, in terms of resources and media resources, hopefully you'll have some time off in the next week or so. And when you can break away from the family and all the cooking and all that, you know, festivities, which is always fun, to maybe get one of these books, and you can still do it very quickly, or at least put it on your bucket list for the new year. I want to recommend these books because in terms of facts and in terms of, you know, we talk about Fact Check Friday, these are terrific resources because it gives you facts. They give you facts about Scripture, the Bible, Bible stories, the history of the church, the saints, and all the work the saints have done over the centuries to right the ship, as in the barometer, right? So some really, really good reflections. And actually, we've done interviews on all of these books that I am going to mention. And so you can go to the Catholic Connection Archives through Ave Maria Radio, AveMariaRadio.net, and you can find them. Or if you're interested, we can always send you a link to them. So here are a couple of the books that I recommend for future reading. If not right now, maybe you can even go online and order it ASAP so you have it over the holidays. Maybe you're going on break. Maybe you're going down south for some warmer weather. I don't know. But if you're taking some time off, sit by the fireplace, make a nice cup of tea or maybe a little glass of wine or limoncello, whatever you like, in moderation, of course. But sit and read and be comforted, as Father John Ricardo said, that God is, as I like to say, very large and still very much in charge. Okay. I mentioned the book by Joseph Pierce. We just had him on again earlier this week. I think it was on Tuesday, actually. And this is his latest book, just came out from Ignatius Press. And I'm probably going to have him on again to dive into this even more deeply. The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful, History in Three Dimensions. So what he's doing is taking a look at the church, as the title says, right? Three dimensions, the good, the bad, and the beautiful. And this is a take on that saying, the good, the true, and the beautiful, right? And he's looking at what's happened in the church over the last two millennia, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs. And at the end of the day, reminding us that the church is still the church. And I think it's a great book. It's not difficult to read. It's very deep, of course, because Joseph Pierce is an excellent, very thoughtful writer. But I love the saints, and this is why this book was important to me, because it reminds me of the saints that came through in certain times of the church. This is one of the reasons I love Italy so much, especially the central area of Italy, Umbria, because it's just packed with so many great saints. And the saints remind us that all of us are called to make a difference. And most of the ways these saints made a difference, in addition to obviously standing up, maybe they started orders like St. Francis or St. Clare, but they did so with the joy and the love of the Lord. Francis went around preaching about the mercy of God, and he attracted so many people. It's important to look. These are real people who lived in certain times of the church. And so this is not something pie in the sky or Pollyanna. Oh, it's no big deal. You always talk about the saints. Well, they're there. They're real. There are over 10,000 saints. And we have so many great ones that made a difference and challenged people both in the world and in the church, such as Francis, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, and on and on and on. Many of the early doctors of the church, the doctors of the church. We need to learn more about them so we can respond to this world and remind them of the joy of the Lord, right? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. So, Joseph Pierce, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful, History in Three Dimensions, from Ignatius Press. Proud to be a part of this brand new book, just came out, selling extremely well already, Wisdom from Women in Scripture. It's edited by my friend Kelly Walquist, who also has a chapter in it, myself, Elizabeth Kelly, Dr. Mary Healy, Melissa Overmeyer, and the wonderful, wonderful pro-life speaker and leader, Alyssa Borms, from the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Great little book published by Word Among Us. I've got a link to it on my Facebook page and also my website, Wisdom from Women in Scripture. Talked about this several times already, and we did do a brand new interview with Jay Richards, one of the main contributors to this book, God's Grandeur, The Catholic Case for Intelligent Design. You want to take a real break and look at the beauty of God and how we know that God's in charge? Read this book. I mean, the minds in this book are phenomenal, but it's not difficult to read. And it is broken up into several sections, including science, philosophy, and theology. So they talk about the design in Scripture, the design in the natural law, beauty and evidence of intelligent design. And it just reminds you of the greatness of God and his love, right? The love of God in terms of what he's created for us to admire and to ponder. So that's book number three, God's Grandeur, The Catholic Case for Intelligent Design. So again, first one I recommended, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful, Joseph Pierce by Ignatius Press. Wisdom from Women in Scripture, Word Among Us, God's Grandeur, The Catholic Case for Intelligent Design. And last but not least on the Hit Parade, we also did an interview on this. I believe it was last week. This is so cool. Also from Sophia, Guadalupe and the Flower World Prophecy, How God Prepared the Americas for Conversion Before the Lady Appeared. This is fascinating. When San Juan Diego was having this experience on Tepeyac Hill and seeing flowers and smelling flowers, he is wondering to himself, as they explained, as the authors explained on this show, it was last week or 2 weeks ago we had them on. Ooh, he said, I wonder, and I'm paraphrasing, is this the world, the flower world, that my ancestors talked about? So God was preparing the people, the Aztec people, in that part of the world at that time, centuries before the Blessed Mother's apparition on Tepeyac Hill, for her apparition. And we don't think God's got this? I mean, come on. So what I love about all these books is that it reminds us of who God is and who we are not. He is in charge. And yet he came to us as a little child. Go figure, as Rosie would say. Joy to the world. 36 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
In a Facebook world, we can multiply virtual friends, and yet psychologists and sociologists tell us we have fewer and fewer actual friends. This is not good. We're made for friendship. Friendship with God, first of all, but secondarily, friendship with other human beings. Jesus calls his apostles friends. And when he faces his greatest suffering, he asks his inner circle of friends to come and pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They come, but they fall asleep. Jesus isn't crushed when his friends fail to live up to his expectations. He doesn't withhold his love from them. He doesn't cast them away. Nor does he suffer their neglect silently. He confronts them. Couldn't you have prayed with me for an hour? Then he moves on to do the will of his Father in heaven. When friends let us down, as they will, we should follow the example of Jesus, lovingly confront them, but remember that they can never substitute for God, who stands ready as our ultimate friend.
Cresta in the Afternoon. Weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for those who have diabetes. Almighty God, we worship you, our Father. And we pray this day for those who suffer with diabetes. Look upon your children with this illness and grant them relief. Give them patience and the grace of perseverance in taking care of their health. Show them the way to physical and spiritual well-being. Let their cry come to your ears and bring them healing in mind and body and soul. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
A Great message for this time of year, of course, but every day and always. We are your pro-life radio network and TV network, EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. Beautiful, beautiful new book from our friend Stephanie Gray Connors, and it's published by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And the book is entitled My Body for You, A Pro-Life Message for a Post-Roe World. And Stephanie Gray Connors is with us. Stephanie, Merry Christmas, my dear. Tell us about the book. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Teresa. So, you know, I have spoken and written on abortion for many years, but as the years have gone on, I really felt at the heart of the pro-life message is the Eucharistic message, the words of Christ, of this is my body given for you. And ever since the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade, we've been hearing the mantra again, my body, my choice. And I thought the best response to that is the words of Christ, no, it's my body for you. And so I really wanted to unpack that, not only drawing on my years of debate experience with abortion doctors, but now my more recent years of experiences as a mom, having gone through pregnancy, 4 miscarriages, and I'm pregnant right now with another baby.
Congratulations to you. You know, you've been out there really on the front line, Stephanie, and your debates have actually made headlines in the secular media. What are your thoughts? Because I was very concerned about the way the left was able to hijack. And I mean, I was really proud because so many of the women who were speaking on these issues during the election cycle last year and earlier this year and last year, actually, in different events that came up and different amendments around the country. I mean, they went through media training. I did some of the training for them. They really put their heart and soul into it. And yet the left was able to hijack the message through fear, which the media do that all the time anyway. I mean, that's just what they do. That's a business, you know, modus operandi. And I know that from my own experience in the secular media. But they were able to convince even many pro-life people or people who, you know, I thought were pro-life, that horrible things were going to happen if these amendments, whether it be in Michigan or Ohio or elsewhere, did not pass. So what do you think we did incorrectly and we need to do better?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think we need to use the power of story to our advantage because the other side relied on stories, as you rightly point out, grounded in fear of, you know, women are going to die, women are going to be abandoned. And we want to impart the theory that we can help women in an ethical way while still protecting the lives of their preborn children, but bring it down to practice and start to tell the stories, which I do in my book, of women who have been willing to, first of all, put their children first. And it's inspiring to hear of women who are like, I delayed cancer treatment, even if I didn't ethically have to, because I'm a mom and I would give my life for my born child. But I also give an example of a woman who was totally ethical for her to pursue cancer treatment while pregnant. And by the way, her baby survived and she survived because it was done in a way to preserve both lives. So it's about telling a better narrative. And I think we need to shine the spotlight on that, which is what I try to do in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. The book is My Body for You, A Pro-Life Message for a Post-Roe World. The author is Stephanie Gray Connors. If you're just joining us, Stephanie is an author, speaker, presenting on pro-life topics around the world, and formerly, as we mentioned, debated many abortion activists, including Princeton philosophy professor Peter Singer and the late-term abortionist Dr. Fraser Fellow. She's lectured at Google headquarters for the series Talks at Google and has written books on in vitro fertilization, abortion, and assisted suicide. So what do you think in terms of the storytelling? That, number one, absolutely, people love stories, and it's a great way, the true stories are a great way to get people to understand the message. What else do we need to do, Stephanie, in your idea, in your mind, being a great debater and a pro-life activist, moving to 2024, because we know it's going to be a tough election year for us?
Yes, absolutely. So we need to work very closely with the gatekeepers. So that, by that I mean our pastors, whether it be priests, evangelical pastors, our religious leaders, principals at schools, and we need to be working on a local level to cast the net wide and get into as many of these institutions through the partnership of these leaders who will open the gates and give the pro-life message access and really impart a pro-life apologetic so that people don't just hear, oh, my pastor says I should vote against this or vote in favor of that, whatever the particular bill is. But they actually know why. Because if people have a solid understanding of the reasoning behind why we ought to reject abortion, how we ought to preserve preborn life, then people are going to be more convicted at the ballot box.
So in the book, you learn how to, you're teaching people how to articulate the meaning of our bodies, see the pro-life Eucharist connection, And number three on here, in terms of the outline for the book, this one I think is a real clincher for all of us. Calmly engage with pro-abortion activists. That can be a real challenge sometimes.
It can, because abortion is so personal. How many of us have known people who've had abortions, may have had abortions? And so we feel that if we condemn abortion, it's as though we're condemning a loved one. And we want to remember, no, it's possible to hate the sin and love the sinner, because we're all sinners. Mm-hmm. And so instead, to be like, okay, I'm not going to take this personally if this person is angry at me, but I'm just going to seek to understand where they're coming from, as we know from the prayer of St. Francis, and then tell them information, you know, through the lens of stories, through the lens of the Socratic approach of asking questions that will provoke deeper thought and help them live up to what we're all meant to live up to as fully mature adults, which is motherhood and fatherhood. And that's mm-hmm. one of the points I really emphasize in the book, is we are meant to, you know, live out maternity and paternity, whether that's spiritual or whether that's physical. And when we achieve the heights of our development through that type of love, then we ultimately model the love of Christ of laying down our lives for others, which is not a burden, but in fact, a profound joy.
I love the fact that, and I do this too, the asking the questions. Maybe it's because I'm a reporter, but I think asking questions when you're talking with people is super important.
Absolutely, because it gets the other party thinking, you know, where does your passion come from? You ask that question, then they tell you they drove a friend to an abortion clinic, which then helps explain why they're so resistant to our message, because perhaps they feel guilt.
Right.
Or you say, you know, when does science say life begins? And now they have to think through not when they personally say life begins, but what the biology textbooks tell us. So then you see what they even know, and then you have a discussion about what you know. And so it really draws deeper thought, which is what we need, because we want to get beyond the slogans.
Also, even if you see news stories out there, I always find it fascinating, for example, and again, this is from my news background, but I would be covering these stories as a reporter, and we'd come to a story where there'd be, you know, God forbid, a horrible accident where a pregnant woman was either injured or killed, God forbid, along with her child in the womb. And the media would report that, okay, this person, if it was a drunk driver or a reckless driver or whatever, would be charged not with one crime, but two, because of the unborn child. And everybody would be like, yeah, that's important. Justice is being served. This is so wrong. And yet those same people would support legalized abortion, which to me is such a cognitive disconnect. So I think sometimes when there's news stories, such as the one which happens quite often, unfortunately, God forbid, but it does happen, this is a time to really say, well, you know, what do you think about that? Why should they be charged with double murder if it's just a clump of cells or if it's only a choice?
Absolutely, because then that person is going to start to realize, oh, wait, my instinctive response in this case of an accident is not consistent with my
right.
instinctive response in the case of an unplanned pregnancy. Why do I feel that way? Wait a mm-hmm. minute, am I being inconsistent? And so then again, we're going to be provoking deeper thought. You know, even the case going on in Texas, a woman named Kate Cox, around 20 weeks pregnant, found out her
right.
baby had trisomy 18, wanted an abortion. But what was coming out as I read the news about her story was, had she not had the trisomy 18 diagnosis, she would have carried through with the pregnancy. It was very much a wanted pregnancy. In fact, she's claiming to want the abortion so she can get pregnant again and give birth to a healthy baby. You know, but we want to make the point, okay, so if you really want to be pregnant, then is the value of our children grounded in who they are as mm-hmm. unique, unrepeatable human beings, or is it grounded in how healthy they are? And if it's the latter, what does that mean about our children who are born and sick? Does that mean they're less valuable because their lives may be shorter, because they may be sick? Do we really want to live in a world that values our offspring's life based on health as opposed to based on who they are as unrepeatable, irreplaceable individuals?
And you know, Stephanie, I'm sure if we dug even more deeply in that particular story out of Texas and spoke with her and her family, that woman, we would probably find out, based on the research, and you know this better than anyone, that she is scared because she feels she couldn't handle the situation with a child who had some disabilities. And there's plenty of resources out there for her, and there would have been help available. I mean, there were so many beautiful comments. Yeah. There was a lot of attack on X and on other social media platforms. But I love the fact that Senator Santorum got out there with a beautiful picture of his daughter, Bella. And you know, other people mm-hmm. saying, oh, well, you have money, you have this, you have that. But there are things that people can do to help her and help others in that situation, especially if you're talking about the wonderful pregnancy help centers out there.
Absolutely. And so this is where, again, you mentioned earlier, fear is often driving people to make choices that they're ultimately going to regret. And, you know, to share the beautiful stories of people who have had children with poor prenatal diagnosis, whether it's trisomy 18 or something else, and whether they live a shorter life, but how that life can be embraced and loved nonetheless. You know, one of the things I mentioned in my book is the beautiful work of a physician by the name of Dr. Brian Calhoun called Perinatal Hospice. So that's helping people who know my baby's going to die at birth or shortly after, but walking with them, supporting them, holding their hand and journeying with them through the rest of the pregnancy and the delivery so that they are supported and lifted and that child's life is affirmed and validated. And suddenly the loss, even in the pain, can be a beautiful experience, whereas when you pursue abortion, all it is loss and all it is destruction of life.
Yeah. It's so interesting, though, isn't it, the psychology behind it all? Because if you see Hollywood, and Hollywood can be such a bastion of, you know, of pro-abortion and other, you know, leftist causes, and yet some of the movies that they come out with, like one of the most popular movies of 2023 was a movie with Jennifer Lopez called Mother. And she is a military veteran, and she's now an assassin in the movie. I watched the trailer and everything, read a little bit about it. And the whole emphasis of the movie is her protecting her daughter, whom she was forced to give up for adoption. And it's so interesting to me because even in the trailer, you see images of the baby in the ultrasound. And the whole premise of the movie is all about her doing whatever she can, even putting herself in, you know, harm's way to protect her child, because she had gone into hiding because of some things that she had done afterwards. And so my husband and I were talking about this, and we're thinking, talk about cognitive disconnect. I mean, this whole movie was about the bond between mother and child, and yet they're so pro-abortion.
Yes, I know. It doesn't make sense, because if you were just to ask someone outside of an abortion debate, what is the test or the mark of a civil society, they would likely say it's how we treat our most vulnerable members. Mm-hmm. How we treat the needy, how we treat those who are dependent. And who is more needy, who is more dependent, who is more vulnerable than the child in the womb who cannot speak up for herself, cannot even feed herself, you know? So, you know, one of the things that I've heard a lot of abortion supporters talking, especially in the post-Roe world, is, you know, women are not incubators. And one of the points I address in the book is, actually, we should view our bodies as a sanctuary or as a tabernacle.
I love that.
We, as pregnant women, we get to be home for our child. The only place this child knows as a source of comfort and security is our very bodies. And again, I say that as someone who's 6 months pregnant, and pregnancy is hard, and there's inconveniences and burdens and challenges. And I say this also as someone who's 43 and really tired. And yet, it's an honor to be able to be a sanctuary for a human who could not otherwise survive without my love and attention.
Beautiful. Talking with author and pro-life speaker Stephanie Gray Connors, her latest book, published by our friends at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, My Body for You, A Pro-Life Message for a Post-Roe World. Just a beautiful book. And for right now, going into the new year, and of course, a very, very tough election year, I'm sure. Stephanie, God bless you, and wishing you all the best with your new baby and your family. And thank you for what you do. I know that you're probably going to be taking some time off, but I do hope that you can manage to go out there and still speak while taking care of your child.
Thank you. Yes, I have a very supportive husband, so we work pro-life work in as we can in family life. So people can learn more by going to the St. Paul Center /mybodyforyou.
Yes, and also your website too, right, for more information if they want you to speak. Again, that's loveunleasheslife.com. That's where you can learn more about Stephanie's work. Listen, Merry Christmas, my dear. Thank you for your witness.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Stephanie Gray Connors, her latest book, My Body for You, A Pro-Life Message for a Post-Roe World. And it's published by, again, St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. 53 minutes past the hour. We're wrapping up Catholic Connection as we move into Christmas weekend. When we come back, stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Do you remember writing your Christmas wish list as a child? In developing countries like Haiti and Guatemala, children don't make Christmas lists, and they don't expect Christmas gifts. All their parents earn must go to food, shelter, and water. Can you picture the joy of surprising a child with their first Christmas gift? Send them a box of joy at boxofjoy.org. A rosary and the story of Jesus is included in every box of joy. Give today at boxofjoy.org.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Everything in the Bible and in the Catholic Church starts with the book of Genesis. It reveals to us God's plan for mankind. Yet Genesis can be daunting, especially given the scientific discoveries of the last few centuries. Well, that's where I come in with my new book, Genesis, a Bible study guide and commentary. Discover a thoroughly Catholic approach to this exciting and dramatic ancient narrative that is so often misunderstood. You can get the book now on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. Check it out.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Wishing you a very Merry Christmas, a safe weekend, an enjoyable weekend. And we are obviously off for the Christmas holiday and the Holy Day on Monday. We also have some other time off next week as well, taking a little bit of a break to refresh and renew and just, regroup as we head into the new year. I do want to remind you that we'll put a link to all of our interviews and also the books that I mentioned, Guadalupe and the Flower World Prophecy, God's Grandeur, Wisdom from Women in Scripture, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful, the books I'm recommending that I recommended during my Fact Check Friday segment. We'll put a list there on the archive section so you can take a look at that, maybe get that for a gift, or maybe just do it for yourself. And don't forget also, EWTN.com for all the programming information and Father John Ricardo's thoughts from the trailer, Acts 29.org, Acts 29.org. Remember, keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Buon Natale. Ciao, ciao. Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.